I wanted to share with you, a little bit related to the parasha, a very fascinating piece that I don't know if you've ever seen from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Liakov on his view of racism, which I thought is very interesting. I'm not sure exactly what I feel about the piece, but I think that there's a lot of value in at least some of the messages that he develops, and it's on Parshas Noach, so you can take a look in Emes Liakov and see it for yourself. Meaning, I don't know about you, maybe you guys are much younger than me, obviously, and you grew up in sort of a different culture than I did, but at least when I was growing up, there was certainly a perception in certain circles, many of the circles that I was in, that Judaism tolerates or even encourages racism in some form or another, that even in very, very religious circles, and some would say dafka in very, very religious circles, to say a racist joke is like totally acceptable, and each person is one upping the other on how many different minorities you can completely freshmeta, and you can make fun of, and so it was not uncommon growing up to hear religious role models, to hear not just back of the school bus kind of thing, but like religious role models speak of an entire race or ethnicity in a derogatory way. And I'd be disingenuous if I said it always bothered me, but certainly as I matured a little bit, it bothers me. And even Gedolei HaPoskim sometimes talk in unbecoming ways about other human beings. There are tshuvos about blood donations, for example. Can a person be Torim Dam to a blood bank? Rav Moshe has a tshuva about whether you can get money to, whether it used to be that they would pay you to do it. They don't pay you to do it anymore. Maybe they give you a donut or something, but it used to be that you'd get paid for your blood. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that. But some of the tshuvas, not Rav Moshe's tshuva, but some of the tshuvas use like hair-raising language when they talk about what it would mean to have a Nachri's blood in your system, or why putting your holy blood in, and just like that terminology, if anyone who has any sort of a sense of the history of racism in this country, it's like that terminology is it's hair raising. It's just, in fact, I once wrote an article about this topic, and I'm hesitant to say this because I'm afraid you're all going to Google it, but I once wrote an article about this topic, and I quoted some of those tshuvas just to say. To use it as sort of like a foil, and to say, but our poskim don't hold that way, and that v'chulei, and it was picked up by, I'm going to leave out the person's name because I don't want you to be able to Google, but it was picked up by a certain very, very famous white supremacist, Klansman, he brought rayos from my article. Obviously with citations taken out of context, that Talmudic Judaism is racism. So Talmudic Jews can do it. If one wanted to argue the case, in favor of racism, they might find support in this week's parasha. And this is what Yaakov Kamenetsky struggles with. For example, Vayomer Arur Knan Eved Avadim Yiel Achiv. That Noach has determined that Canaan and his descendants are destined for a cursed life of slavery. That these people, by virtue of their yichus, are going to be slaves forever. Essentially, Canaan seems to be identified as an inferior race, and they therefore have to be slaves to everybody else. And how do we reconcile that with our basic sense of humanity, our basic sense of morality? Furthermore, we proudly declare, Atav v'chartanu mikol ha'amin, that Hashem chose us, and we believe very strongly in the concept of Am HaNivchar, that we are the chosen people. How is that not an indication? If there's an inferior, if there's a superior race, there must be inferior ones also. And Atav v'chartanu seems to suggest that there's some sense of superiority. And aside from the moral implications of the approach, seems to be a basic contradiction in how we view ourselves also. Because on the one hand, yes, Asher Bacha Banu Mikolam, we say in Berachas HaTorah, Atam HaChatan Mikolam, in Slichos, Ashamnu Mikolam, that we're in a certain sense, worse than everybody else. We've done more averos than everybody else. We are more deserving of punishment than everybody else. We acknowledge that we're different, but in one context we're declaring ourselves to be better, and in another context we're declaring ourselves to be worse. So which is it? So these are the questions that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky struggles with. Rabbi Yaakov, in his Emes Yaakov, explains that Judaism unequivocally believes that racism is wrong. And he says, I'll bring you a clear raya to Beferish Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, notes that unlike other creatures, man was created alone. Why was man created as a single individual? Why not just create mankind? Why not just make all, you know, have an entire United Nations, populate Gan Eden? Why is it that it had to be dafka man? Mipnei ma nivra ha'adam yichidi, the Gemara says. Shlo yomar adam l'chaveiro, abba gadol ne'avicha. So no one should be able to say, well, my father is greater than your father. We all came from the same father. We all came from the same Adam Arishon. We're all come. So, okay, over time, things diversify a little bit, but it all came from the same place. Man was created differently than all of the creatures, specifically so that nobody will think that they're a superior race and they're made of better stuff. The Archaim HaKadosh emphasizes that Parshas Yisro, the Parsha of Kabbalah HaTorah, is specifically named after a non-Jew to demonstrate that what makes us special is not anything inherent. It's commitment to a value system. And if Yisro was willing to commit to a value system, the very Parsha, the Kabbalah HaTorah, that contains Kabbalah HaTorah, is going to be named after him, after a person who was not born into it, who was not a born Jew. I know in Geirus, sometime I once got an email from the spouse of one of the people that we were Megayer, asking, like, what do I do about this whole thing of Yichus? Everyone talks about Yichus. There's no Yichus in my family. The fellow said, my wife is a Gioras, my father is a Christian, my mother is a Jew who never did anything Jewish in her entire life and has done plenty of terrible things. Where's the Yichus in my family? And what Parshas Yisro teaches us, says the Archaim HaKadosh, is that it's all about the choices that we make in life. It's not about what we were born into. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Havidanis kala adam lekaf zchus." Rabbi Isaac Reis pointed out to me, I forgot, he quoted a commentary, but I forgot which one. He said that maybe kala adam, not havidanis adam lekaf zchus, havidanis kala adam lekaf zchus might mean that the addition of that word kol is to teach that even though you may have had a negative experience with a particular person, you shouldn't allow that to cloud your judgment of an entire category of people. So when you should be, when you had some sort of negative experience with a person who looks a certain way, dresses a certain way, belongs to a certain community, havidanis kol ha'adam lekav zchus. But keep in mind that it's an individual. There's still a broader community, and that broader community, you could still be dan lekav zchus. A friend of mine was just telling me yesterday that he was in a hotel in Israel over Sukkot, and there was some chevra from one of the yeshivas that had rented a hotel room, no parental supervision or anything, and so this chevra was drunk for a week straight. Mom, she said, like, didn't they were not sober for a second, like vomiting all over each other. They were doing all sorts of drugs. They had all sorts of they're girls in their room, you know, like they were exposing themselves at the pool, like really, really, like. And then this friend of mine is so innocent, he said, but not because they were going to the mikveh. Like, they were, like I didn't think. they were going to the mikveh at the pool. So he said that the general manager of the hotel, like, said something to him, like, oh, you were a yeshiva bachur once, so this used to be an animal like that also. And he's like, excuse me, I had no such experience in my yeshiva. That a person that you encounter, one person or one group, you shouldn't have done a skala on the kapsulus. You should realize that the category of people is different. And based on, so Rabbi Yaakov develops the following idea. He says there's a fundamental difference between racism and the Jewish belief of Ama Nivchar, along with the cursedness of Canaan. It says racism believes purely in nature, that you're born a certain way, and a group of people can be born morally inferior. And Judaism does not believe that. Judaism believes in nurture with a caveat. And this is, you know, a little bit difficult, that nurture can sometimes lead to nature. For example, people are basically good, but if, let's say, you have a parent who's mispalo for his child's success, yomam v'layla. Do we, as believing Jews, believe that that has an impact on the child? If I'm a spalo, I put hundreds of hours of tears and tefillah into a child. Of course we believe that that has an impact. That child is going to have a little bit of a leg up on the competition because he has been the on the receiving end of countless hours of tefillah and of connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore it has an impact on the child's chances for success. Is it a guarantee for the child's success? Far from it. The only thing that guarantees the child's success are his own choices in life. But, you know, to quote, even though I don't love quoting him, but to quote Cory Booker, he said, I believe when he spoke at the Chabad Kinnas Shluchim, because of course Cory Booker spoke at the Chabad Kinnas Shluchim, I think it was there, maybe it was somewhere else, that he said that his dad used to tell him, son, don't strut around like you just hit a home run, because you was born on third base. I think that was the line, meaning some people are given a leg up. They're born on third base, so they could scamper, you know, the last 90 feet, Adam? Yeah. So they could scamper the last 90 feet to make it to home plate. And other people are born on first base. And other people are born, you know, before, you know, in the on deck circle. You know, we're sitting on the bench. There's a way to everyone can make it, but some people are just put at a tremendous disadvantage. And therefore, if parents who prays for a child's success can have impact on the child's chances for success, parents who work to incorporate negative attributes in their children can also sometimes be successful at that. And they can incorporate negative attributes into their children. Of course, a person cannot overcome that, both for the positive and the negative. But the stronger the kochos that were put into developing those traits, the more challenging it will be to overcome. So there are children of tzaddikim who worked very hard to overcome all of their parents' work and tefillos for them to be as big a rush as they could possibly be. And sometimes you'll see that they make their way back. And when they make their way back, I know I'm thinking of people. I'm not going to say names, obviously. When they make their way back, you talk to such people, and you still see that tzidkus. Meaning, it's not just that they, you see that there's something that had an impact on, you know, a certain sweetness, a certain integrity. I'm thinking of a particular friend of mine who's a grandson of one of the Gedolei Torah of a previous generation, and he went way, you know, he took, you know, a very circuitous route in life. And just like when you talk to the guy, like you still see it. You still see, I mean, now he's from, thank God, and he's good, and he's, but like you see something special, something more, something they can't really put your finger on, just like a way of thinking about other people before you think about yourself. Something that was like, it was like imbued in him in such a deep, deep way. So yeah, a person can choose to be a selfish jerk if he wants to be, even if he was raised that way. But once he makes that commitment, like there's a lot that just comes back to him a little bit more easily. Rav Moshe was has a tshuva about a ben or bas nida. There was a fellow who was dating a girl, and the girl was a balas tshuva. And the fellow said, look, she seems wonderful. She seems like a big tzaddik. I said, she seems great. Problem is, I know what the Gemara Nedarim says, that the child is going to be pogrom in the spiritual sense if the mother was in nida at the time of the conception of the child. So do I have to be worried that maybe it hasn't come out yet, but the pogrom is going to come out, and it may come out in the children. Maybe it's going to come out in the next generation. So Rav Moshe has his mahalik. Rav Moshe says, no, if she's a tzaddikas, then the mother wasn't in nida. And he says, Mistama, she went to the beach and that counted as a tefillah, whatever. She must have not really been in Nida Midaraisa. Must have, the woman is nafal into the ocean. So she's Tahora Mikra Din. So Mistama, she went to the beach and she was wearing a loose fitting bathing suit or something. Wasn't a Chatzitz Midaraisa. Mistama, she wasn't Nida. Ramesha, you know? It's like, you know, I don't know if he wrote back. She lived in Alaska. You know, but that's how Ramesha said. The Stipler was asked the same question. The Stipler had a totally different answer, though. The Stipler writes that there's something to what Chazal say, certainly, but a person has the ability to overcome that. And this woman is obviously so outstanding that she was able to overcome odds that were stacked against her. So when we say Atava Chartanu and then turn around and say Ashamnu Mikalam, we're acknowledging that even though we were born on third base, somehow we managed to crawl all the way back to second base and then back to first base. That there was this expectation of us because we were given so many advantages on a ruchnius level, meaning we were given the advantage of having descended from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what we're confessing is that we haven't lived up to that expectation despite all of those advantages. It's not a stira. It's dafka why we have the capacity to be Ashamnu Mikolam. We're not just Stam Ashamnu. Ashamnu Mikolam, worse than everybody else, because nobody else was given the advantages spiritually that we were given. The Gemara Pesach and Kuf Yud Gimel tells us that Chamisha Dvarim Siva Kanan Espanav, that Kanan had values that he tried to incorporate in his offspring. Avu as hagezel, you should love gezel. Avu as zima, you should love znus. Sinu as adoneichem, al tedabru emes. You know, these kinds of values that Canaan worked hard in imbuing their children. Aru Canaan means that Canaan was successful to a large degree in imbuing those values. Does that mean that that Canaanim are not capable of overcoming that and becoming tzaddikim and becoming geirat tzedek? No, of course they're capable of it. They're capable of overcoming it, but it's going to take a lot of work. It takes a lot of work for someone to overcome such a chinuch. I don't know if any of you are into podcasts. It's to an extent it's Bittul Torah, by to an extent, I mean Pshuto Kamashmo, it's Bittul Torah. But there was an interview with Nissan Black. Anyone heard that interview? You know what I'm talking about? You know, so I admit to, meaningful people. Yeah, they get amazing, yes. Amazing guests. So they inspiring. So Nissan Black said, in his upbringing, there was always drugs in his house. He was smoking pot at the age of 9, and he was. Like, for a guy like that to make it, for a guy like that to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's possible, but for every Nissan Black, there are, I don't know how many people, that don't make it because they were given such a tremendous spiritual disadvantage by their parents, by the way they were raised, by being brought into the world. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov suggests, that we inherited Midos. Just all he's suggesting is that take that obvious fact and then just, apply it up more generations than you would think, because we believe that coming from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov still is making its impact on us, even though we never met them and we wouldn't know how to talk to them. But still, it still has its impact. So we inherited these midos tovos from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We stood at Har Sinai. We received Torah Hashem, Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, and that put us on a certain level. But anybody can choose to embrace those midos, and they can even be Atav Chatan Mikalam if they choose to convert. But maybe the upshot of all this is that part of being an Or Lagayim, or maybe the entirety of being an Or Lagayim, is to help people who are born into spiritually disadvantaged situations to overcome that and to rediscover their Tzelem Elokim. Meaning not to say, if someone was born in a spiritually disadvantaged situation, therefore they are doomed to always be less than. That is racism. That is terrible. That is not at all what the Jewish people believe. It means that just like if someone has a physical disability, so you try to come up with ways to help them out and to make their life more livable and to allow them to function more fully, and that's heroic. That's what we're supposed to do. So maybe that's part of what we're supposed to do on a spiritual level as well. And just again, none of this was me. This is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So I thought it was an interesting piece just to share with you today. Okay.